Welcome to Quantum Rx, the podcast that teaches you how to move beyond stuck emotions and trauma for mind, body, and spirit healing. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Davis. So I am not a fan of New Year's resolutions or like the resolution craze or trying to make a lot of dramatic changes at the beginning of the year because we know it doesn't work. I mean, I feel like the gym industry is a perfect example of this. All of these people listen to, you know, the collective, oh, you have been eating crappy during the holidays, you've gained weight, now you need to go back to the gym, or you just need to go back to the gym because of X, Y, or Z. I don't love that. I don't love the energy it's coming from, and I don't love the energy that it is moving towards too. It's like those should-haves, you know, must-dos, all of those things. And it's not coming from something inside of yourself and something that's intentional. And so I, for many years now, when I work with people, I don't, you know, encourage resolutions. Instead, I like people to make intentional changes throughout the year as they need to. And rather than doing, you know, a resolution, I like to call in this time as a time of reflection, because the winter is a time that we are naturally slowing down, right? You know, life outside is slowing down. It's cold. A lot of places have snow. So things are naturally moving slower. And so that allows us for the space of reflection, you know, reflection and awareness and, you know, cultivating the, you know, the change that might come through those reflections and kind of surrendering to the moment. So that's what I have people do instead. And we're definitely going to talk about this, you know, later on in the episode. But first, I wanted to share a little funny thing with you that actually got me thinking about all this and actually like what was the catalyst for this episode. And it was, you know, in my life, I tend to get a lot of downloads in strange moments. It's not really strange, though, when you think about it, because these moments are like when I'm driving down the road and I'm not really thinking. You know, I'm engaged in driving, and a lot of times I will turn off the radio and not listen to anything just so I can have that space to be. It'll happen, you know, in the shower. That is a very common place for me to kind of get like downloads or insights. And again, I'm just kind of in the moment, present in the zone. And they also happen when I'm falling asleep. And the common thing here, the theme across the board is like, I'm not in my mind. I'm not thinking. I'm not feeling emotions, and I'm not feeling things like anxiety or worry or stress or, you know, anything like that. I'm just like in the moment and I'm being, and especially in when you're moving towards sleep, you're getting into those theta waves where these things more easily come through. And the other night, a couple nights ago, I was taking a shower and I was definitely in one of those more relaxing spaces. I had the lights turned down, you know, it was a nice warm shower. I shut my bedroom door, which is telling like my kids and everyone else, stay out of the room, like this is my time. And it was funny because I definitely think of my grandparents as guardian angels. And I had been thinking about my grandma specifically and recently. And then all of a sudden I got like this sense, right? That it's, I don't know if she, like it's a communication thing or I was like, you know, experiencing something from her, but it made me think about her. And it took me down this path of questioning lots of things. And it was a reflection. And so I am going to share that with you because it's really, really interesting what came of this. And it led me into kind of like this, like I said, this space of reflection. And that I'm going to walk you through what I do with myself and also the people that I work with at the end of the year. Instead of doing resolutions, what we do instead. And that includes I've got two exercises, and it's the reflection inventory and the reflection interview. And you can do either one, you could do both, but essentially it's, you know, kind of taking stock and then making intentional decisions after we take stock? And then how can you use this information and apply it to your life and apply it to your business? So that is what we will be going over today. If you're curious as to if you have any stored emotions or trauma that might be causing your illness, preventing you from achieving your goals, or even just showing up as your the best, most authentic version of yourself, I invite you to take my free stored emotions and trauma quiz, and you will find that link in the show notes. All right. So let's get back to my shower download. So with the shower download, that was, you know, like I said, I felt like just my grandma presence around me. And to be specific, this is my mom's mom, my maternal grandma. I think I've mentioned in the past on the show that I consider her to be like, you know, one of my guardian angels. She was one kind of in life. And I so consider her one in passing. And maybe I mentioned that she and I used to have a guardian angel pin that we would give back and forth to each other when we thought the other one needed it. So we definitely have a strong bond there. And it was interesting because I was in the shower and I started thinking about her and like all of the reflection stuff started coming into my head. And then I sat there and I wondered about her because my grandmother was a stay-at-home mom of six children. And her life wasn't always easy. She had four kids in 5 years and then had one 7 years later and then 7 years after that. So, you know, obviously, you know, not the easiest, especially having like four kids under 5 years old. So I sat there and I thought about that because I will say my grandfather was a great provider and a great father. He was not there a lot because his job, while it provided well for their family, he was out of town quite a bit. He traveled for sales. And so he was home on Thursday nights. He would be in the office on Friday, and then he would have the weekend home with them. And then he'd be leaving again, right, for the start of the week to do his work. And so I thought about that. And my grandmother, to be completely transparent, she had a little bit of like a nervous breakdown. I don't remember the ages that the kiddos were, but I know that it was the first four and that they were pretty young because, I mean, she had babies back to back to back. And the youngest of the first four had like colic and she had some other things going on. So she was not an easy baby. And then my mom was the child that preceded her, and she was exactly a year older. So they were like a year apart. So like she had essentially like two infants, two babies at once, right? And so it was hard. It was really hard for her, and she didn't have a ton of support. And it made me think I would love to know, you know, ask her, you know, what happened? Like, what were your thoughts? How are you feeling? Like, what do you wish would have been different? Like all of these thoughts came to me surrounding that particular experience for her. And it made me think, so it's like, again, this is part of that, and I will say this is kind of part of the reflection interview, and I'll get to the specifics of that, but that in my mind, this is what was happening. It was like the reflection interview. And unfortunately she's passed. So any of the information I get from, you know, from that experience is like secondhand from like my mom or my aunts or uncles or whoever, you know, was present there. But again, they were small, so they don't really know. And they're only able to relay like recollections from my grandparents that they were told. And, you know, to be completely transparent, my family was not always like forthcoming with information. A lot of times, like we kiddingly say that, you know, our family was great at like sweeping everything under the rug and making everything seem fine. But that was, you know, that's what they did in that day and age, right? They did not acknowledge much of anything. They tried to like, you know, kind of maintain that, you know, we're this great family and, you know, everything is great. That is what everybody did back then, right? There wasn't a lot of emotional honesty or boundaries or much of anything back then. But yeah, because this would have been in the 1950s, right? Because that's when my mom and most of her siblings were born. And is interesting, though, because then once I got through that, because I would love to know how she felt during that time and just raising so many kiddos without a lot of support and help. And like I said, I know my grandfather was a great man and he did the best he could to like help when he was at home and be present. But you know, four kids in 5 years is hard. And then, you know, add a couple more kids, you know, on the plate, you know, later on, it's a busy life, right? And then I thought to myself, to my grandmother, like, obviously this was the life that she, you know, she had the path she had to go down. But like, what would she have done? Like, I would love to know, like, had she maybe not had all of those kids, or my grandparents got married and maybe she was working, you know, and like, if she was to have a career, what would her career have been? I don't want to know she had any regrets, because I mean, maybe she does. That might be a good question. But I wanted to know, like, what else would she have done with herself? You know, what were her dreams for herself? If she wasn't a mom, what else would she have been? Because I have a distinct feeling, just knowing her, that there was so much more to her that we never got to see. And it was like this thought. It was almost like I was having this dialogue with her in my head, even though I wasn't getting the answers, because, you know, it was a very different time. And I feel like it gets into that, those identity things of, you know, she was a wife and a mother, right? Largely, that's what people saw her as. You know, what else was she? You know, I think there was so much more to her that people didn't get to see. And I would love to know what she would have thought of all of that. You know, and like me thinking this stuff about her, like, you know, in life, you know, she only passed away, I don't want to say a couple of years ago, like 4 years ago, and she was almost 94. So she lived a long, good life. But I, you know, these are things I wish I had asked when she was alive. And I may not, you know, I may not know these answers ever, and that's okay. But like, it just got me thinking. And it got me thinking about the reflection interview, which we're going to come back to in a second. But first, I wanted to, you know, just lay the land and to where I got to, you know, deciding to do this podcast, because, like I said, not a fan of resolutions. I really like reflection instead, because when we reflect on ourselves and our truth, things are much more intentional. And I feel like real change comes first from that, so like being honest and intentional with who we are, what we might need to address, and then where we're going. Like, how do we, you know, take those changes and catalyze that and transform it into what we want, you know, our desires, our goals, all of those things. And so the reflection inventory, let's talk about that first. So this is an exercise essentially for you to see where you've been, what you've accomplished, and, you know, help give you direction and guidance on where you want to go in the, you know, near future. And so for me, the way that this looks is, and often the people that I work with, it is, you know, every year at the end of the year, I encourage people to first do this exercise, do the reflection of the past year, but it would also have you review what your goals were for this year. So for people that I work with that have never done this type of exercise, like do like an inventory of what you would like to see happen for you. And like, let's say this year was 2025. That's what I would do. Like I would write down, you know, all of those things, you know, all of the goals, like in every aspect of life, like my personal life, things to do with health, things to do with relationships, finances, all of the pieces of the puzzle. But then also that for my business, right? Because that's a big piece of who I am and what I do too, and a lot of the people that I work with. And so I usually have that. And then what I do is I review that list, and I, you know, I sit with each line and I'm very intentional about it. It's like, what did I accomplish? I kind of like go through that, you know, check it off. I also reflect on the feelings. I reflect on the feelings that I have towards those accomplishments, because sometimes it's like one of those things, like you're really excited and super proud about something you did. And then as you grow and evolve, sometimes those things become like, yeah, I did that, but you know, it doesn't mean that much to me anymore. And that's a hint to you as, you know, as to how you've grown, but also the direction that you're moving into. So like, I always take note of like, how do I feel about those things that I, you know, I saw on paper that I accomplished. And then, so I do that. Then I also look at the things that I didn't accomplish. And that's not necessarily an indictment of me not achieving something. It's a combination of things. So this is what I'm looking at. Is it something that I wrote down that I wanted to achieve that I didn't? If I did still feel that way, like I wanted to achieve it, why didn't I achieve it? Is there a limiting belief inside myself? Was it mindset? Was it me not taking personal responsibility? So I kind of go through an inventory on that level too. So I've got that stuff. But then there are some things that just fall to the wayside because it doesn't resonate with who you are anymore and how you've grown and where you're going. And that's okay too, because I put X's through those. I put lines through it and say, oh, that's not who I am anymore. And this is why. Then I would also say, are there things that you're currently doing? I would say that are like on that could be on your list, or you know, you had planned on doing them that don't resonate with who you are now. Again, those are things that you want to release and let go and just be like, you know, I have moved on from this space. For me, in my life, that was my functional medicine practice. I knew at the end of last year that that was something that did not bring me joy anymore. It did not resonate with who I am now, what I am doing, and where I am going. So I made a very intentional plan at the beginning of last year, I should say beginning of 2025, end of 2024, when I was doing my kind of this exercise and this inventory. It was regarding how I wanted this to be executed. So I said, you know, first quarter 2025, that those will be the last functional medicine patients I take on, you know, forever. And that was true. March 31st, I stopped. I gave everyone ample notice, everyone in the world, my patients, their families, everyone, you know, it was announced. And from that point on, then I started making plans to get people through their treatment plans and, you know, just do all of that if they only wanted to do functional medicine. And then it got to the end of this year and earlier, you know, earlier this month, December, I basically sent out an email, and then I also sent out some personal letters saying, hey, if you want to continue to work with me, we have to do, is going to be a requirement to do some level of, you know, nervous system, emotional or trauma work, because those people who tend not to get better or get better faster, as fast as they should, are because they're stuck, right? They're stuck with these emotions and they're stuck with the trauma, and it's manifesting as physical symptoms. And so they have heard me say this long enough. Some people act on it. I have a lot of people that I work with in the functional medicine space that are like, yeah, I get that there's an emotional or traumatic or nervous system component to it, so let's work on that. But there's a lot of people who know that that's the case and they choose not to do it. And it's interesting because I see that and they always say, oh yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then they never do. So this was my nudge to them saying, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm honoring myself. I don't want to do just functional medicine anymore. It does not bring me joy. I don't enjoy it. I really love helping people. And I still love it when I hear them say, oh, my symptoms got better, or we review their labs and their labs are better. You know, that part still brings me joy, but the process of getting there doesn't, and it doesn't resonate with who I am anymore. So, you know, that's where I got to. And I've told them all, like, this is your option. Like, if you, you know, want to continue to work together, this is going to be the requirement. And if you don't, I can refer you to somebody else who will provide you, you know, purely functional medicine. And so that is what I've done. And like 2026, the functional medicine part is going to be essentially going away. I would say a precious few exceptions. And that is, there's a few families that I work with that I've worked with for a very long time. And working with them is easy. It's like, it's easy and it's fun. And that actually does bring me joy, because these are people who've done the things. They've done, you know, the functional medicine side of things. They've done the emotional and trauma work. The moms have done the emotional and trauma work, I should say. And they've got it together. And these are the types of people who really only need a little bit of help here and there with certain things. So those are the people who I said, just because I've become like a trusted resource for them, I'm like, I will work with the handful of you. And we've just developed like these relationships over the years. And these are people who I've been working with for, in some cases, almost a decade. So those people are going to kind of stay on as is, but I will be, you know, the functional medicine part is going to be going away. And I've made peace with that. But again, it was like one of those things, like it had to come in phases in a transition. And this, the thoughts and the intention behind it started off with this reflection inventory when I realized last year that part of the reason I hadn't moved forward was because there was something inside me that was still attached to the, you know, what my colleagues thought about me, like what my colleagues thought about me moving more into the like mentoring and, you know, doing trauma and emotional work with people and, you know, mentor, like I said, mentoring and coaching space too, and, you know, helping people with their, you know, businesses and practices and things of that nature. And I, there was a part of me that was like last year at this time was still attached to that, but I'm not anymore, like 100%. Like I've done a ton of work this year surrounding that. So I've completely released that and let that go. And it's freed me up to move, you know, intentionally in this direction. So that could give you like a good idea of, you know, what this process might look like. And for some goals we have, it might be quick, right? It might be implementing a process, either, you know, changing a habit if you're looking at your life, or changing a, you know, if there's a goal, like if you want to implement a system into your business and you haven't been able to do it yet, why? Why have you, you know, it's been in your mind, you know, you need to do it. Why haven't you done it? Or if you've tried to do it and you weren't successful, why? When I'm working with people, that's like, that's what we get into, all of this type of stuff. But to get back specifically to the inventory, yeah, you're reviewing your past year. And you can also add to that list. You can also add to the, like, what else did you accomplish? Because I do find that there were things that I didn't have on my list that I also accomplished. And it's awesome to just sit there and reflect back on what you've done, because so often we don't acknowledge ourselves. And we, when you sit back and look at that, most of us have done quite a bit, even though we might not think that we have. And I, like I said, I do it for personal and professional. Then I take it a step further. I don't always do this with everybody, but for me, I will also say, you know, where was I a year ago? Where was I 3 years ago? Where was I 5 years ago? Like, did I ever imagine that I would be in this space? Like, how am I different? And so It's one of those things where it really does kind of give you that 50,000 foot view of where you've been, where you are now, and it gives you kind of like that vision of where you want to go. So that is the reflection inventory. And the reflection interview is a lot of, it's kind of what I described of, you know, that thought process of when I was thinking about my grandmother and all of the questions I would have liked to have asked her, right? You can do the reflection interview two different ways. You can, you know, think about it in context of your past self. What questions would you like to ask your past self? Just like I, you know, was thinking about my grandmother, right? Like, you know, the past versions of me, like when I made certain decisions, what was I thinking? How did I feel in that moment? How do I feel about the outcome? So that's another way to kind of generate these, you know, thoughts and feelings and reflection of who, you know, who you were. You could also apply it to present day too, but I like to go back to like past versions of myself and see what she would have thought about what's happening now or and how she felt then, right? So you can do it that way, but you also could do it with regard to people who are in your life. And this could be somebody who, you know, has passed on, like my grandmother. It could be somebody who might not be in your life anymore but that you have some curiosity about. It could also be somebody who's living, right? Like I've thought about this with regard to some of my relatives, like the questions I would love to ask them. And it's someday I might, right? But it's so many of these things are like contextual and circumstantial and like also like level of trust, right? Trust and vulnerability. Just, you know, the questions like, why, you know, why did you make this choice over, you know, another choice? You know, how did you feel in that moment? why, you know, what drove you to make these, you know, those feeling, you know, having these feelings, what made you, you know, act on a certain experience that would have guided you into a certain decision. There's so many things. So, and that can give us a lot of insight too. Sometimes I will have people do an exercise similar to this, where it's like, think of somebody who you admire. Oftentimes it is like a famous person. Sometimes it's somebody in your life, but like, what are all the questions you would love to ask them? And also why, what are the things that you admire in them? What are the traits? So it's like that same thing. It's just an exercise to get you thinking about things, but then it also will oftentimes bring up these like aha moments, or like I like to say, like downloads or ideas that you might not have thought of, you know, just in your conscious thinking mind, because so often we're in there and we're critical and we're judgmental and we analyze and hyperanalyze, and you know, we all of that, the conscious mind issues come through. And when you get into that place where it's reflection, it allows more for that kind of subconscious to come through and the truth to come through, and your kind of like your highest self, you know, best version, highest self type of thing to come through too. I would encourage you to do those, those types of exercises. But then how can you apply this to life or your business? And so I gave you a good example of applying it with regard to how I am changing my practice and my business on my kind of like essentially year. It's going to be a little over a year. You know, it was my year of releasing functional medicine from my practice, but then it's coming to its finality here in the, you know, first part of 2026. And so it's like that was a very long process, right? But it had to be due to the nature of the work that I do. And I was never going to push anyone out or rush anything. I wanted to give everyone ample space and respect and time and honor their process too. But at the, you know, towards the end of this year, I was very much like, this is what I need to do for me and my business and practice moving forward. And so you can do it that way, applying these ideas to your like life. Like I said, for instance, I've had in the past some health goals, and I know that I need some level of structure. When left to my own devices with certain things health related, and I will say I'll use exercise as a specific example, I'm not always diligent and on the ball, because as my life and my priorities have changed, yes, it is important to me, but it wasn't number one. And I kept on putting like my kids and their activities and my household and my business in front of my, like, I wouldn't say health, because there were lots of things that I was doing, you know, quote unquote, right for my health, but I wasn't consistently exercising as much as I needed to. So this would have been actually 2022 going into 2023, when I made like an intentional, again, doing the reflection at the end of the year. And I saw even my son had called me out on like, you know, oh, mommy, like you always start exercise programs and then you never finish them. Or, you know, daddy works out all the time. Like he's consistent. Basically, he's consistent and you're not. And I'm like, you're right. That is the truth. You're calling me out. And thank you for that. So it was one of those things where I looked at that and I said, I'm like, this is not going to be a resolution, because it's not a resolution. I'm like, this is going to be an intentional change that I'm implementing in my life. What do I need for myself to be successful here? And so what I knew was I needed structure. I needed a program. So I spent the end of December looking for a program. I had my husband help me. I use an app. There's an app called Train Heroic, and there's a lot of programs on there. And my husband, being kind of in that space, knew a lot of the different exercise programs. And so he helped me choose one that kind of fit what my goals were and what would work for me and my schedule and kind of what I like to do when I work out. And we, you know, I downloaded the app, started doing the program. You know, we have our garage gym, so I was able to, you know, do, you know, my workouts, you know, during the day. And my goal was working out 4 days a week. And I didn't give myself constraints. Like, you have to do it at this time. You have to do it these days. I left it intentionally vague so that I could fit it into my life and my schedule when I, you know, could do it. And it was cool because, like, some days I would work out 3 days in a row, take 1 or 2 days off, and then, you know, do another, you know, workout. But the interesting thing was as I got into this rhythm of just doing it, my 4 days became 5 or 6. A lot of times when I was sick or not feeling well, it became like 3 or 4 days in a week. But I went an entire year where I worked out basically 4 days a week or more. And it was just because I made, you know, intentional choices and intentional change and integrated that into my lifestyle. Usually things that would have derailed me, like either being very sick or going on vacation or my kids having, you know, time off of school and us being busier in certain ways, none of that derailed me. I usually, because basically what happened is, like, I'd say, you know, I fell off the horse and I haven't gotten back on. I just hopped right back on. You know, it was like, it was really nice, especially because I had that app. I had a program to follow. I also liked the fact that it gave me some level of accountability. I could watch, you know, track my progress, but I also had accountability in the app because it was, there are live coaches there too. So the coaches could, you know, give you feedback, or if you have any questions, you know, you log your workout. No one was saying, hey, you have to work out, but there was live support should you need it. So there were levels of accountability, and there was also just that consistency and that structure that I needed, a certain level of structure, because I feel like for me, if there's too much structure and it's rigid, that is when I'm more prone to being like, no, I'm not going to do this, because my life, based on being a mom and the business that I have and all of the things that I do, I need to have more flexibility. And so that might be like, you know, working out at 4 o'clock one day, 5:30 the next day, maybe if I have stuff to do in the afternoon, noon the following day, rather than saying this is my set workout time every day of the week. So a lot of that, you know, is to say, give yourself the tools to, you know, to set you up for success and what you need. But that's kind of the ways that you would implement these ideas in life and in business. A lot of it is just being intentional and thoughtful and, you know, kind of putting something down on paper and giving yourself the support system that you need. Do you need support from, you know, a buddy? Do you need an accountability partner? Do you need somebody there to do it with you? Like, sometimes an accountability partner is like checking in. Sometimes it's a partner is like doing it with you so that you don't feel alone. Sometimes it's asking for help from somebody else who might have more experience than you. And that, I feel like we're in this age of, oh, AI has all the answers, or, you know, that I can do it by myself. Everyone wants to do everything by themselves. And I will tell you, that does not work. That leads to isolation. It leads to burnout. It leads to you not, you know, achieving what you want to achieve and also being your best self. And so that I'm seeing that happen more and more. And people are like, oh, but, you know, there's AI and I can ask AI all these things. I will tell you, the only thing I ever ask AI about is, like, sometimes an idea, if I put a word in there or like a phrase, like, what's another way to say this? What are some ideas that I can expand upon on something? Or sometimes it'll give, I don't even really use it for outlines anymore. I was going to say I've used it for outlines in the past, but I find them, even though you train it, I still find them to be very generic. But I never ask AI for life advice. I don't ask it for health advice. I have seen it spit out things that are absolutely wrong, and that's fine. You know, I know it's getting better, but this reliance on AI and being even more independent and individualistic is completely counter to what makes us human and what makes us, and what we need to thrive, just thrive and have vital lives as human beings. And so I would say to, like, if you feel like you need support in any way, shape or form, get that support, because we all need a village and we all need support to do this thing that we call, you know, humaning on a daily basis. So yeah, just a quick recap. You know, it's the end of the year, instead of doing a resolution, I would, you know, invite you to maybe do that reflection inventory exercise or the reflection interview exercise and see what comes up for you and see, you know, how that might apply to what you want to do in 2026 and how that might guide you, right? Guide you and also show you the areas where you might actually need some support and some guidance and, you know, to make some changes in your life and where you might, you know, find that support, the guidance and the changes. And I believe this episode is being released on New Year's Eve, so the last day of 2025. And for those of you who have been listening all year, I appreciate you and I am super, super grateful for you. And if there's anything you need, you know, you can always reach out in the comments. You can always reach out on, you know, any, you know, social media. You can reach out through the email. There's all sorts of places in the show notes that, you know, you can connect. Please feel free. I always answer people's questions. And I love, like, that is one of the things I really enjoy doing is, you know, helping people and helping them transform their lives and, you know, do their, you know, be them best, be your best self. And that doesn't mean being perfect. It means being you. And so if there's anything I can do to help you along that journey, like I said, please don't hesitate. You deserve to have a wonderful 2026. So I invite you to bring that energy in. Bring in the energy of just, you know, love, self-love, self-respect, love for humanity and also respect for humanity because there's so much that's needed out there. And just, you know, your good intentions for 2026, because you really do deserve the best and your the happiness and joy and all of those things. So yeah, just wishing you all a happy 2026. And as always, sending you so much love.
If you made it this far, I truly appreciate you. Remember, knowledge is just the beginning. Taking action is what truly sparks change. If you're overwhelmed and don't have enough energy to make it through the day, I invite you to book a free 20-minute coaching call with me. It's a no-obligation chat where we can discuss your health goals and how I might be able to help you achieve them. Visit the link in the episode description to book that call. Until next time, keep striving for wellness and remember, you have the power to not just survive, but thrive in motherhood.